Let's face it, life isn't easy. If you're stuck in a bad relationship, betrayed or afraid of tomorrow, financially insecure or desperate for a breakthrough, you've come to the right place. Dr. Carmen Hara is a renowned psychologist, intuitive, relationship expert, and best-selling author, and she's here to give you the miracle guidance you need. Her new call-in show, Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, offers profound wisdom, practical advice, daily exercises, and empowering predictions, all for you. Dr. Hara's show aims to eliminate everyday problems, big and small, with topics like healing your relationships, reclaiming your power, achieving better health, dealing with loss, and so much more. Regain the joy, stability, and fulfillment you deserve to feel. Tune in to Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life with host Dr. Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and find the answers you've been looking for.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life. I'm your host, Dr. Carmen Hara, and you're on the right show if you have problems with relationship. And I have a phenomenal guest tonight. But as you know very well, I'm live every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Home Time Radio with my amazing producer, Christopher. And my guest tonight and myself, we will discuss what I love to discuss the most, relationship, talking about divorce, dating, and sex. So why is dating so difficult in the modern world is one of the questions that everybody's asking me. But my response is that when have relationships ever not been difficult? I mean, throughout history, since the dawn of mankind, men and women have gotten into complicated and convoluted relationships. They have been falling in love, they fought, they betrayed each other, they falling in love with other people, they separated, they got back together, and they fought again and again. Think of, I'm going to give you Liz Taylor and Richard Burton. They divorced, they got married again. I'm going to talk about Jennifer Lopez. She fell in love with Ben Affleck, then she married Mark Anthony. Then she went back to Ben Affleck. Meanwhile, many other relationships. So look at what's going on in the world and think of going back in time of King Henry VIII, who had six wives and two of them he decapitated. So along with, I don't know how many mistresses. If you think of Voltaire, he moved in with his mistress and her husband in a house that Voltaire was paying for renovation. If you think of Cleopatra, who had love affairs with two Romans, Julius Caesar and Mark Antony. Then what else? She committed suicide. Let's not forget that the war, the Trojan War, was because of Helen, you know, who ran off with a prince named Paris. So for thousands of years, dating, sex, marriage, romance, divorce, you know, they all come from actually very messy love relations, very messy affairs. So what's new in the 21st century? Well, maybe our standards are higher and we've added online dating to the mix, but all in all, relationships remain as complicated as ever. If you go on Facebook and you look at somebody's profile, what you can read about relationship, you always see it's complicated. It's complicated. How can we make things right? So that doesn't mean all relationships are negative. We thrive on love, and I think the emotion that hurts the most is love, and the most powerful emotion of all emotion is the emotion of love. So I want to bring an expert who can explain the ins and outs of love and dating. And my special guest tonight is Laura Coronado, and she's the host of There Are No Nice Guys. No Nice Guys. That's actually a popular podcast, and it's about divorce, dating, sex, and what happens when single women realize there are no nice guys out there in the world today. So, and I want to tell you, Laura's with me right now, and her live mission is to make women feel good about themselves. That's a big mission, Laura. I tell you, she also manages a women's lifetime blog called Lolly Shopping, which has been around for 14 years, and she has 25 years. In the career of marketing, which is pretty impressive. But she's not right now doing so much work. She's just dedicating to living the life of a single woman. And where is she living? In the fabulous Las Vegas. So, my beautiful Laura, Thank you so much for accepting my invitation. You're very, very welcome to my show. And we have a lot of listeners, and I hope that all the ladies out there that you're calling me every other week about relationship, the man in your life, when is he coming, who is he with right now, is he going to be with you, is he divorced, is he whatever. So you guys, call right now. Don't wait, because the lines are going to be full very quickly. So I'm looking forward to a lot of calls today. But listen, Laura, I love you. Mm-hmm. You're the best.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful.
Thank you
so much. I'm going to start by asking you, because I was so intrigued by the title of your podcast, There Are No mm-hmm. Nice Guys. I don't know what Christopher thinks about this, because he's a very nice guy, by the way. But where is this name coming from, Laura?
Well, it's meant to be provocative. So it's meant to make people go, oh, are there no nice guys? You know, it's supposed to make you have a double take. I did that on purpose,
right,
of course.
Right, exactly.
Are there good men in the world? Of course there are good men in the world.
Right.
But the nice guy, that label, has become overused. It's a trap. It's a trope. It's no different than saying the perfect woman or the girl next door or the kind of girl I can take to meet my mother. It's the same kind of stereotype. And I think it's dangerous, actually, when a man introduces himself and says, I'm a nice guy. And the moment a guy says that to me, I'm like, oh, if you have to tell me you're a nice guy, you're probably not. And as far as Christopher goes, I bet there's more to him than being nice. So that's what we want in people.
Yeah,
we want
multiple layers.
We want complexities. We want all of this in their personality. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say there are no nice guys.
So let's continue with my question. So what is the purpose of this podcast? So to make it even more clear for everybody listening, what do you think you are achieving with the podcast in itself?
The real purpose is for me to attract those women who are at the point where they're down and they're just over dating and they're feeling discouraged, and they need other women who are in the same position as them to talk to. I just want to set the podcast to let women know you're not crazy. It does feel like there are no nice guys out there. It does feel like dating is hard. You're not alone on this journey, and here's how we can work together to make it better for you.
Wonderful. This is really great. Now, by the way, that, you know, while we were talking, Christopher just sent me a text. He said, hey, I'm a nice guy. We love you, Christopher. You're the best.
I bet he's much more than just a nice guy.
Oh, my God.
He's just a great person.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm thinking that this dating, this online, this sort of a digital age, dating in this modern world is becoming very, very complicated, in my opinion. And I want to ask you, why is that? Do you have an answer why in this modern world, this so-called digital age is so, digital dating is so difficult?
I think there's different answers to that. One, I think first and foremost is that it has made it easier for men or for people, just say all people, it's made it easier for any person to lie, to catfish, to set up a picture that doesn't even represent you, to lie about your age, to lie about your background, to lie about whether or not you actually are married or in a relationship. So it adds that layer. It's made it so much easier to lie to people. So I think that's a big part of it. Another part is the disconnect. You know, people can get used to hiding behind a screen or their laptop, and then they don't want to meet in person. And they can fall into this fantasy of, like, it's almost like video games, right? When you play a video game and you take on a character and you're in this fantasy land. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people who are just maybe not fully mentally developed, maybe they're in a process on their journey where maybe they're suffering from grief or some sort of loss, and they're just not equipped to live in reality. They create a fantasy world, and then meanwhile they're talking to somebody who is ready for a relationship, who is ready to meet in real life. And I think it just adds a lot of complexities because there's a lot of anonymous behavior that can be encouraged with online dating.
Right. Now, I'm listening to you, and you're so right. If you think from that perspective, then my question to you, is this online dating actually safe? And if it's not that safe, how can we make it safer? What do you think?
I don't really want people to completely walk away from online dating because it is an option. You know, at least there's one way to meet people and date is online dating. Generally speaking, yes, I do feel it's very unsafe. And that's not necessarily because of the people, but it's the platforms. I myself did online dating for years, and I myself reported so many different profiles for catfishing, for harassing me, for inappropriate behavior. So I reported so many people, and the platforms themselves, they do not do enough to protect their users. If the platform itself would do more to protect users, I would feel like it's a safer place for anyone to date.
You know, I resonated with you, Laura, in so many ways. And for everybody listening, you know my story. My husband died relatively young, and I wake up at 50-something, a widow, and then I realize, am I going to be alone for the rest of my life? And I'm actually alone ever mm-hmm. since. And I mm-hmm. try only once. You know, I confess to everybody listening. I tried mm-hmm. once online dating. It was like five, mm-hmm. 6 years ago, hoping that probably, you know, I'm wrong. Probably, you know, there is a nice guy out there who's meant to mm-hmm. be with me. And I chatted with a guy, and at some point, you know, after the second time talking to him, he started getting undressed, you know? And at that point, I closed completely the computer. And I said, yeah. Excuse me, this is not for me. I am not doing this.
I mean, you really put yourself at risk.
I didn't even try. Sorry?
Mm-hmm. You really put yourself at risk. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I said, listen, this is wrong. This is wrong mm-hmm. because you don't know who you're talking with. I have no idea, you know, who that mm-hmm. person is. And there are all these sites in which you pay a lot of money. I know mm-hmm. some site that has $50,000, you know, and yeah. to match you with somebody. But there is no guarantee. There's mm-hmm. no guarantee. I know many of the women I've been working with as a therapist, you know, they paid $10,000, $20,000. And yeah. there were money they throw, you know, in the river because they've never been with anybody. They had one or two meetings and that was it. And it didn't mm-hmm. work. So mm-hmm. it's just at the end of the day, you know, it's a matter of being out there, or finding a different way, a different resource of meeting one-on-one. I'm still a believer. I'm the old school than the mm-hmm. way my parents met in a subway station, you know, mm-hmm. And they spend the rest of their life together. Or my mm-hmm. my grandparents, you know, my grandmother was only 16. She was introduced with her husband by a family member, and they mm-hmm. kind of those arranged marriages. But you know what? It worked. As long as they were alive, they were together. They had a number of kids, and they were happy together. So I don't know if those are different times, different belief system, but mm-hmm. anyhow, you know, but research do show that there is a rise in lonely single men. While mm-hmm. there are studies that show that single women are actually the happiest demographic, is there yeah. a way to explain this? And how can we fix this? If there's a way to balance this, how can we fix mm-hmm. it?
The only way that I can explain it is through the mental health issue. Because while mm-hmm. we're seeing
that's a good point.
More... Yeah. While we're seeing more and more men complain about being lonely, and we're seeing more and more women celebrate their single lifestyle, we're also seeing more and more women go into mental health care, into therapy, you know, becoming patients and right. taking medications that are prescribed to them. And we're seeing less and less men go into therapy and taking the medications that doctors have told them to take for depression or anxiety or whatever. So, I mean, there are studies that prove that as well. So I am, you know, just theorizing based on these percentages and kind of making the correlation between mental health care and happiness and loneliness. And so that's my explanation for it. But I mean, I would like to see more men work on themselves and focus more on their mental health and less on hooking up and less on pornography and less on Tinder, you know, less on dating.
Right. Well, I want to tell you, the first sign of depression starts with isolation, with being lonely, with taking, like closing the door to the world out there and living on your own. That we used to say that's already a sign of being clinically depressed. So, but not everybody living alone and choosing to isolate is necessarily clinically depressed. So we know to we need to know to differentiate one from another, and there are many other signs of clinical depression. But one of them is definitely when you don't want to communicate, when you you know, you sort of isolate yourself, like I said, from the outside world because you feel better this way. But how and why are single women increasing their relationship standards? What do you have an answer from that?
Again, I think, well, I think there's twofold. One is that we are becoming more and more independent and self-reliant. You know, as crazy as the house buying market was recently, do you know that single women were the second most prominent group of home buyers? The number one, the number one group of home buyers is usually, you know, families, married couples with children. The second most prominent group was single women. We were out there buying, since the pandemic, we've been out there buying houses. I bought a house during the pandemic myself. So this
Me too. I bought new
house.
Yeah.
So that's what women do is we, you know, we treat ourselves, we take care of ourselves. We contribute to our own happiness. We take the responsibility of our happiness in our own hands. And so I think naturally we're going to set our standards higher. We set our standards higher for ourselves personally. We're going to set our standards higher for everyone else. So if we're doing things like, you know, being financially independent and being well-to-do, and we're buying ourselves nice cars and we're buying ourselves our own homes, if you want to date one of us, you've got to be able to provide or present something even better than what we're providing for ourselves.
That's so true. When I want to tell you, Laura, we have a lot of people online waiting. Ooh. Elani, Susan, and Susie from Florida. And we're going to talk to them in a little bit. And I want to ask you one more question and we'll take a short break. And my question is, what are some things that single women can do to improve this dating life? Is there any tip? Do you have any tips for women who are single? Then they say, okay, how can I date if this online is not that safe, which we know is not? What can we, what can I actually do?
I think the most important thing any individual woman can do is to change her attitude. If you have a bad attitude about dating, and if you have a bad attitude about men, all you're ever going to have are bad dates and bad men in your life. So you have to change your attitude. So, you know, I joke about there are no nice guys, but like I said, I don't want women to walk away thinking there are no good men in this world. So if you have an attitude of all men are terrible, you're only ever going to meet terrible men. So you have to change your attitude. You have to change your perspective. You have to come around to some sort of point of optimism when it comes to dating and love and men and relationships. And I think that's the first step, is just change your attitude.
So true. In other words, you know, what's within you, the way you see the world, the way you, your belief system are reflected in the way you present yourself to the world. And what is within you, you'll actually put out there, and this is the way you attract somebody into your life. So women who don't attract men at all, and they just, and I think one of them don't really attract men right now, are women who are very, like me, I'm extremely independent. And I love being like this. I love living this life. And but the women that their projection is this: I'm powerful enough. I can do whatever I want. I can, you know, I have my own financial stability. I have my career, I have my achievement, I have my kids, I have my grandkids, so I have, my life is full. And I don't necessarily think, so it's all about my attitude is that, okay, I don't necessarily think at this point in my life a man will make me feel better or will bring me the stability because I already have it. So I'm starting to think what a man will bring me other than the love. And I know authentic and genuine love is not easy to find. And I also know that the dating, going back to dating online, is a very tempting invention of the modern world. And this virtual dating can open up possibilities, but you also can get lost in having too many possibilities and having too many choices. It may or may not be a good thing because it can be counterproductive to commitment if you feel like you have too many options and you can't focus on one. And and it makes you feel not convinced whether you should be with one when there are so many fish in the pond. So it feels you like it interferes and also interferes with what is called destiny. Well, what people are kind of are fated to meet, you know. So before you begin like looking through photos of single and online, you have to make sure that you put ourselves there, as you said, with the right light, with the to attract somebody stable and well with well intention. And I think the golden rule in dating is that you will receive the energy that you put out, exactly what you said. It means that assessing how you are portraying yourself to a potential partner is very significant. So that's very significant. You know, when you want to date online, see what photo you put. You know, how you, what you consider yourself. You know, what language are you using? Are you straightforward? Are you playful? You know, all those things, you know, psychologically speaking, these are the things that you have to take into consideration. Because there are many sides to every woman. And there is no right or wrong. It all depends what you really want, what you want to bring in. And this applies to one-on-one, to in-person dating. Because people go to the first dates, and it's very important for them to create excitement, attraction between, and some people go there, but they're not convinced. They don't, as Ricky said, their attitude is not the right one. And they don't know how to engage in a conversation. You know, they don't know how to stick with subject that relate to aspiration, who they are, what they want to achieve. So people don't even know how to engage in a conversation in on one-on-one dating, you know? So there's so many things to consider. And you being the expert, I think you are always, you know, confronted with this kind of things when you are coaching women, how they should go about finding the right person from themselves. But I'm going to take a short break, and then I'm going to go to Leilani, then I'm going to go to Susan, then I'm going to go to Florida. So we'll take these ladies waiting to speak with you, Laura. So give me give me just a short minute. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in a second.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And I'm back with my wonderful Laura. She's an expert in relationship, and she's the one who is doing this amazing podcast. You know, there are no nice guys, but as we were talking, in fact, you know, there are many nice guys out there. The question is, how do you bring a nice guy into your life? And I'm going to connect you with Leilani, because Leilani is one of the wonderful ladies who always calls the show for years, and I care a lot about her. And I want to see what you think Leilani should do to bring in her life the right guy. Hi, Leilani.
Hello, beautiful women.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to have you chat with Laura and see her opinion. She's the expert on this.
So, Laura, guess what? I believe there's an amazing man out there. I have been kind of had a lover from Brazil, and he's getting ready to go back to Brazil. Mm-hmm. And I met him synchronistically at an Airbnb in Florida in March. And we were just friends for 6 months, and then we became intimate. And I believe I attract who I am, and I believe I can meet a man anywhere. I'm open to that. What I've noticed with this man, he's a lover, he's younger, he's not available for a long-term committed relationship. And what I'm really ready for in 2023 is a dynamic, conscious, high-quality man to share life with, to travel with, to live with, to love with, to grow with, and to really bloom and blossom with. And I feel him. I think he's out there. So I wanted to see what you think. Thank you.
Leilani, I agree. He is out there with you. And here's why I believe this for you. Because you just talked about this Brazilian man, and you started off by saying that, you know, you met, you know, in person with the whole Airbnb. Right away, it sounds like a wonderful love romance story, you know, like this is a book I want to read. And then you said you're friends for 6 months. The fact that you established a friendship for 6 months before you became intimate just goes to show how you are, you know, able to connect on a level that doesn't necessarily have to involve sex. And for him, it obviously didn't either. So I think you are well on your way to meeting the exact man that you just described, and you are going to attract him to your life, and you're going to have a slow burn with him, just like you did with the Brazilian man. So I'm rooting for you. I know it's going to happen. I totally believe it's going to happen for you.
Thank you. I'm excited. And
do you have any tips for her? Something that she should definitely do?
I mean, if I were you, I would write it all down. My best advice for you would be to write this down, because I really believe that's how you manifest.
Yes.
Right? You write it down, you speak it out. So you were very confident with me right now when you were saying, this is what I want to attract. Write it down, read it every day, know that it's coming to you. I mean, I think you should just keep doing what you're doing, which is that, you know, you're establishing friendships, you're open-hearted, you have a strong belief and hope. So I would just keep doing what you're doing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I love this topic.
Do you have any question, Leilani? Any question to Laura? Anything specific, a specific question that you think can be helpful?
Well, I love men. I find them fascinating. I've actually been studying with Alison Armstrong. I don't know if you know her, Laura, about how to communicate with men.
Mm-hmm.
And just
that's
little
a great
tips.
Point. That's a great point.
Yeah, because I believe we can't treat our man like a hairy girlfriend. There's ways to communicate. There's things to say there, you know, and I really have learned a lot from her. And I'm just really excited. And like I said, I changed who I was from the inside. And then I started attracting different men. Actually, I went on a date. I was telling Carmen a couple months ago, and the man actually said, "What do you need in a man?" And I about fell over, you know?
I love it.
Yes. And I believe when we as women show up empowered, not needy, empowered, mm-hmm. loving, dynamic, and we let the man be the protector, the provider, mm-hmm. the we appreciate our man, the relationship is different. I am sad that my lover is going his way, but it was a mm-hmm. great experience. And if anything, I think spirit, the universe was showing me again, there are beautiful men out there. So, yes, I'm excited. So I will keep you posted and let you know.
Well, I want to tell you, you handle it so beautifully. You handle mm-hmm. it, you know. This for you was a transitory relationship. It was not a relationship mm-hmm. that was meant to last forever, mm-hmm. you know, or last mm-hmm. a long period of time. So this is a transition. It was like a healing, mm-hmm. like a healing energy. This man came into your life to help you heal, to help mm-hmm. you see beyond what you've experienced so far. That's just my take on it,
okay.
on what you've been going through. And I feel like after this, you know, the next step, it's exactly like somebody who goes to a transition from mm-hmm. a divorce into the next marriage, and you meet somebody in between. And I feel mm-hmm. like this was an in-between situation, opening doors to a different possibility, to a better person, to somebody even mm-hmm. more for you than this guy, you know?
Because mm-hmm.
you open up emotionally, mentally, socially, at every level of your being, you are able to see yourself with the man and experience the love coming from man. And it changed your perspective about the male figure in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, I really respect that you stood by your standards and your boundaries. Like you said, he's leaving, so you defined it. He is not long-term relationship available to me. You defined it, and you're letting it go. You're not staying attached to him. You are appreciating mm-hmm. the experience you had with him, and you're sticking by your standards, and I applaud you for that. You are the perfect example of how we should all be dating.
Well, I truly believe what's meant for me cannot miss me. What's meant for me will come, and I mm-hmm. have learned that. I did want to share, I am very picky. Mm-hmm. I tend to date international men. I want mm-hmm. a man that's passionate and mm-hmm. Very loving and touching and fun and joyful, and that he has his own tools to deal with life, and he doesn't bring all his, you know, life lessons into the relationship mm-hmm. all the time. And mm-hmm. the last two men I've dated have been that. So it's really, really beautiful.
So you're on the
so
right
thank
path,
you so much.
Leilani.
Uh-huh. Yes,
thank
you are.
Love, yes. love you, my Leilani.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm going to go to Koi because she was first on the list, and I miss her. Hi, my lovely Koi. Welcome to the show. I'm so grateful that you are calling us tonight. How are you, my love?
Yes. Good evening, my Dr. Carmen Hara. How are you?
I love you. I'm okay. I'm great. I'm with Laura, you know. With Laura, we're having fun. You know, we're talking about dating and, you know, different ways to date. And you know, we went through the history of dating. And I want to know in which way we can help you on this topic.
Well, I don't know about dating. I talked to Carmen because I haven't dated in a very long time.
And, why? Why? May I ask?
Location.
Is location or location is just a way to sabotage something else? Is there something else within you in the reactive side of your brain? Is there something there that stops you from really dating, and you pretend that it's because of the location? You find an excuse.
I've spoken to you, Carmen, about Michael, how we started out.
I know.
You know, co-workers and friends. And it's changing now. I feel like he's opening up. And I just saw him like Christmas Eve. And
so you spend the Christmas Eve together?
The the later part, because he was, you know, he was with his family.
Ah, okay, then, but some of it you did, no?
He came about 10:30 at night, and then left about 2:30 in the morning. But he did say something. He said, "I feel like we should, I should be doing more. We should see each other more. We should do more. Good. We should go out more, and do a lot more." And you know, I felt good about that because there was no pressure. Mm-hmm. Not excluding your guests, I would like to know, before I knew what the topic was of conversation, I wanted to know, Herman, what did you feel about Michael and I for the end of this year into the next year? What should I be prepared for?
Well, you know, this is something that needs to be taken at another level of power. So this relationship is very promising. There's something great there. There's a wonderful connection. You guys care a lot about each other. How can we make this become a solid, fulfilling, perfect relationship? You know, relationship can be perfect. I don't know. But we can make it work exactly the way you want it. The question is, where did we got stuck somewhere? What exactly we need to change, you know? Because I always believe in the golden rules of relationship. In order to make something really work and really last and really improve every time we see each other, there are things that we can do. And I think you and Michael need to communicate better. I feel it's a matter of communication.
Yes.
I don't know if Laura agrees with me. But I think if you really want to be in a successful relationship, communication is the number one element of it.
Absolutely.
Do you agree with me, Laura?
I'd like to add to that. I do agree about communication. I agree with that. But I want to add to it, which is that there has to be some action on his part to prove his words. So the words he said to you were wonderful. Now he has to back them up through action. And I don't know that I would get invested too much into the words until his actions are in alignment with those words.
Exactly.
When one of the reasons actions are not always in alignment because we tend to put the ego first, and instead of saying we always say me. So when it comes to two people, we have to use we, not me, because you have to see everything in your life from the moment you connect with that man, from two perspectives, you know? Because if you only put your own ego, that's a destructive force in a relationship that tears down the human bond. Because we neglect the we always favors the me. So somebody who's in a relationship and always look at his own problem, at his own perspective, will never build a relationship, you know? For the sake, you know, of a relationship, you have to always let your proud guard down and take nothing personally when it comes to being with somebody. And your partner has to do the same thing. In what I think Michael needs to do is see the two of you. When he makes a statement like, okay, let's be more together. We need to see each other more often. That's okay. But what about seeing his life with you on his side? What about every single day projecting actions that involve you? Like, okay, I can take Koi and let's go together and do this, you know? I don't need to wait another 2 weeks to see her. There's so many things in my life I can involve her into. So that means creating the we situation, you know? So I think that... Do you agree with me?
Absolutely, because that happened, and we had a conversation about the communication and about seeing each other, and each time it's him that said, we need to see each other more. Mm-hmm. We need to do this. But it'll be like today, he was supposed to be over here, and he didn't, you know, he hasn't made it. He has communicated, you know, through text that, you know, this has happened, or I'm still waiting to see, you know, and I've had years of that, of him doing that, but he knows I'm not about that anymore. And if he wants to be with me, then there has to be communication and there has to be action behind that.
Yeah, but and he needs to envision his life with you in it. So you're not separated from his life. Because as long as he sees him life on his own, and one day he will come closer to you whenever he has time, then we are missing the me action. You know, me. It's me doing this. It's me. It's my life. And you will one day become part of my life. But so far, in my way of thinking, you're not included, you know.
Exactly.
Not included. So the moment you will include it on his daily activities, the moment you will be included and in everything he projects, any plans, any resolution for 23, you are part of that. You are included, then you know that you're moving in the right direction with this man. So in the conversation, you can bring him in with this kind of a possibility, put in motion the perspective of, hey, if we really want to be together, let's change the thinking, because then we change our life. You know, let's consider us as a couple, as somebody who cannot be one without the other. Then we can really say, we achieve, you know, what we want.
And that
you can project to the way you communicate with this man.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
I don't know if Laura agrees with me, but...
Oh, I agree with everything you said. I think that was great advice. I think that you set her on a good course for the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm. And this should be your goal for 20... Don't put it on hold. Don't let it will happen. No, when it will happen. No, this has to happen as soon as possible. You don't have no more time to wait for this. You don't want time to go by, because then you completely disconnect, you know? You need to make it possible now. This is living in the moment, both of you. And as long as he comes and celebrates Christmas, it means he's very connected. He cares. His feelings are authentic. He's real. He wants something that you want. So you both are on the same page, except that you have to participate in making him acknowledge the way he thinks about you and making you part of his life, and you make him part of your life. And then everything from there on just flows, and it's normal. Yeah. And it just moves forward from here. And this should be done now. You don't have time to wait, nor you nor him.
No, I don't have time to wait. I did have that conversation with him on Christmas Eve, and I made up a list of 5 questions, and I said he had to make up a list of 5 questions.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. Love it. Yes.
That we needed to talk about with each other. And one of the last questions I asked him was, does he see a future?
Yes.
With both of us?
Yes. That was a great question.
And he automatically, right away, said yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. And then say, okay, this is the first step. You see it. Let's make it happen. You know?
Exactly.
You see it? You know, we're already on the right track. Actually, anytime, you know, guys, for everybody listening, anytime, you know, you see somebody that is a potential partner, the first question that you should ask yourself, do I see myself with this man 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years? Do I see myself growing older near this person? Is this the person that fulfills my needs? Is this somebody who's my right archetype? You know, what do I know about this man? But most primarily, do I envision myself with this man years into the future? That's the first thing. Don't go by chemistry, attraction, physical, sex. We go by mm-hmm. that, you know, but that mm-hmm. fades away in time.
Yes.
And 3 years later, we're divorcing. 5 years later, we divorce. 10 years later, mm-hmm. after having three kids, we are divorcing. And that's really sad, just because we never envision the possibility of being with somebody for a long period of time. We never put that mm-hmm. question first. So I think yeah. that's, you're on the right track, my dear.
I have seen us from here, you know, from now on. So I have already pictured that, and I believe it's possible. So, yes, if words are spoken, now there has to be action.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen, exactly. listen. Let's make a deal, Coy. Let's say yeah. you call me back in 3 months and you're telling me, I progress, you know. We are every day together. We speak on a daily basis. We have plans together. We travel together. We want to go to Paris together. We want to move yes. to an apartment together. So these are things that I want to hear from you. Like mm-hmm. Laura said it. Action, action, action. God.
Yes.
Take action.
Action, action.
Oh my God. This is so much fun. I love you, my dear.
I love you.
Thank you
too.
So much for calling. Thank you so much for calling. I'm going to go to Susan. Hi, Susan. Sorry, you're waiting for an hour, but we love you, Susan. And we are here to help. What is your question to Laura?
Hi. So thank you. So I'm a widow like Carmen, and so mm-hmm. you know my heart is kind of fragile, and so the last person that I kind of let in, they kind of stepped on my heart, and that mm-hmm. really set me back. So there, Carmen and I talked a few months back, and he was giving me some insight about a gentleman, and I think that him and I have been in the same circle of people, but he hasn't mm-hmm. actually approached me to, you know, take a relationship or anything further. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of curious, if am I supposed to make the first move? I mean, I've had lots of other eligible guys in front of this person actually ask me out, and I actually turned those down just mm-hmm. to kind of prompt him to make a move. And he lives on the other side of the water, so he's a little bit further away from where mm-hmm. where we see other people. So I just don't know if that's the person, or like Carmen and I had talked about, or, you know, kind of how to not be too aggressive, but yet be assertive and say, hey, you know, are you interested in, you know, spending time together or what?
Well, it kind of stood out to me when you said that you're the last guy you dated just sort of stepped on your heart. So my question to you is, are you still hurting from that past incident, from the guy who stepped on your heart?
Well, I'm kind of angry with him.
mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, when we're still hurting from our last relationship, or, you know, when we've lost our husband, our spouse, our boyfriend, and we're still in that point where we're still healing, other people can sense that. And if he's a good man, which I'm sure he is, if you're attracted to him, he may not think that you're ready to date him. He may be giving you your space so that you can fully heal from the last guy. He may be doing you a favor. And, you know, I just want to put that there because I don't know you well enough to know this, but maybe you should take a step back and look and think, do I need more space from dating? Do I need more space to heal? Do I need more space to just recover from the last thing I went through before I start, exploring my interest in this man? Because maybe he's picking up on that.
Okay, that's really good advice. Thank you.
I hope that helps you. But I wouldn't give up on this guy.
Thank you, because that's kind of my hope, is that he's the right one. He's kind of the one that Carmen kind of gave me some insight about, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really hoping
I was focused on a friendship with him before anything else. That's what I would work on, is just having a nice platonic friendship with him and for you all to get to know each other on a platonic level first.
Okay.
For how long is this going on, Susan? How long? I don't remember exactly.
Well, it's kind of funny because we've been in the same circles for about eight or nine years, but we haven't actually, you know, really connected to a level of a next level of communicating and becoming closer. So, but he's the one that I think you had alluded to a few months ago, that it's going to happen.
let's put it, the last 5 months. Did you see any progress in connecting with him, in establishing some kind of an emotional intimacy that is more valuable than any form of intimacy, because it's the connection at the soul level? So you're bonding with this man. And like Laura said, okay, let's build on the friendship. And that's brilliant, because it's so significant to build on the friendship. This is the way you get to know him. You get to know his pattern of behavior. You get to know his weaknesses. You get to know his issues. You learn about his past. You know what his problems are and why he's in the situation he is in. So you put the pieces of a puzzle together and you have the better image of him. And you know what to expect from the man. You know, when you do that, you have a specific expectation. But did you see this kind of progress in this relation the last 5 months, for instance?
I believe so, yeah, because we've kept our distance from each other, but now it's getting more and more stronger to want to take it to another.
So you are on the right track. You are on the right track. So I expect this. Like I said it all the way from the beginning, I see, I feel something great here. I think he's a challenge for you. I think you both are a lesson for each other. I think you came in each other's life. There's a bigger reason into this. And I want you to continue to build, like Laura said, build on that friendship, build on the connection, and follow the progress. And I think you should call me back in 3-4 weeks, a month later, and let me know where you stand with him in terms of connecting emotionally versus where you are right now. So let's follow that, okay?
Yeah, I think just let it happen.
Well, I couldn't hear you for some reason, and that's probably my internet. The phone is fading, says Christopher. Okay. I didn't hear what you said, Susan.
Oh, yeah, I was just given some advice to let it happen next, to let the relationship happen naturally.
So my suggestion is to you to call back like you always do, and I'm so grateful for that. And let's see how much you build with him at an emotional level, and do everything to bring him in your heart emotionally. So open up his heart to you. Because I feel that the potential is there, but his heart is closed. Like, for some reason, you have to get to know what is really going on deep inside him, that he is reacting like this, not only towards you, but overall in his life. What's really there? There must be something there.
Okay. Thank you.
I love
you.
You're
welcome. Good luck.
Good luck, my love. And I'm going to go to Susie, Florida. Hi, my love. Hi, Susie. How are you, my dear?
Hi. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hi.
We love you.
Love you, guys. So
what's your question to Laura? Ask Laura if there's something referring to this topic that she can be helpful with.
Yeah, I recently got divorced, and I started online dating. I met this great guy. We dated for 5 months, but then I realized that's not what I wanted. But he's really in love, and I'm not now. But then I met another guy, and I'm really into him, but I don't know if it's just like a physical attraction with him. I mean, or if he wants something more serious. But, you know, when we don't talk or when he doesn't call or text, I get upset and I feel like I'm getting attached. So it's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem is the attachment, you know, and he obviously isn't consistent with his actions. Because if he was consistent with his actions, you wouldn't feel anxious when you don't hear from him. So these are red flags. I mean, these are your red flags. These are your signs. So if he's not being consistent, he's obviously not interested in anything serious with you. But my question to you is, though, have you decided what you wanted? And have you written it down? And are you, is it embedded in your brain exactly what you want in terms
of dating? I know in my heart. Yeah, but I do, like you said, I do need to write it down. I still need to write it down.
Yeah, so you know, it's important that you know what you want. And I really like what you said about the last guy you dated. When you figured out that he wasn't what you wanted and then you walked away from it, and you still call him a great guy. You have nothing bad to say about him. You're just like, he isn't what I wanted. So that's a really good sign that you know what you want. So I would just keep focusing on that, you know, working on knowing what you want.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. I love you. And I really feel, Susie, that somebody new is coming for some reason. Keep me posted. I just, my intuition tells me, look for somebody new who will be the perfect guy for you. And thank you, Laura. You've been amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everybody, for calling. But Laura, you're amazing. And everybody, they want to find you, how can they find you? Because I know that you have an amazing podcast and you have all this other work. Just tell us briefly where people can find you.
Please go to my website, therearenonicesguys.com. You can listen to my episodes there, or you